just turn it over to the two of you. And I think at the end, they're going to have a question and answer session. So
we're going to leave a little bit of time for questions.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do right now, Ron, I'm going to mute everybody. So if you'll have to unmute yourself after I mute everybody so you don't get interrupted. All right.
Welcome.
Thank you. God bless everybody.
You have to unmute again. And then, Jane, you can unmute too, whenever you're ready. Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Well, to be honest, as soon as I was born again, I started this ministry. Because when I was born again, the Lord came upon me so hard that I got so excited that I had to share the good news with people, that even in my family and friends. And from that point on, I lost a lot of family and I lost a lot of friends because I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And from the beginning, he said, I've called you as a son of the Most High Living God. And that's how I identify myself. And at that point, he qualified me the same way he qualified everybody else. Out and preach the gospel. And that's how I started. In 2012, I was born again, and immediately I started to preach the gospel to neighbors, friends, even. And then in Waco, I used the public transportation lot, and I was even preaching on the buses within a month, because I was so excited about being born again, and I have that same excitement today. And I just have that hunger, because there's this space in my belly that just needs to be filled with the gospel every single day. You know, it says in the Bible to study to show yourself approved in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, I believe. That was my complete understanding from the beginning. And then I dove into the scriptures, and I've been going ever since. I've always been moving forward. I've never stepped to the left or to the right. I just kept moving forward in the ministry, and the Lord guides me into different places. And my favorite verse, you were talking about favorite verses. My favorite verse is Isaiah chapter 55, verse 5. I'm going to go a little quick, so if you guys want to write these down, back to me later, that would be great, because we don't have a lot of time to fill what I'd like to speak. And that verse is this: surely you shall call a nation that you do not know, and nations that did not know you shall run because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So, you know, God will put us in situations that give him the glory. And when I went to Kenya, as soon as I went to Kenya, he opened up this wide open door to ministry. And some of the places I've gone and seen, they've just been it's been an incredible journey. And who qualified me? He qualified me to do these things. The same way he qualified the 70, the same way he qualified the apostles. I mean, a fisherman, okay, like Peter and Andrew. Who would think, or John, who would think that these people like Peter? Peter's a fisherman. He's a lifelong fisherman. His father was a fisherman, so we can probably say that his father before him was a fisherman. Now, if you see fishermen in that time frame, they probably had a fifth grade education. This is why I believe that Mark actually wrote the scribing for Peter. Because Peter was kind of not really illiterate, but he just didn't have the skill to write out that much of the Gospel of Mark, which is the gospel, pretty much the Gospel of Peter. And also when Peter was writing, Mark was doing the writing. Anyways, I'm going off the road, so let me get back into what I'm saying. Okay, I'm going to talk about we are qualified. We are qualified, every single one of us. He has qualified us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God, firstborn of the new generation, which we are. We are the first generation. We are the first generation after the firstborn, who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he was called and chosen to die on the cross to fulfill prophecy, which many people don't understand. First, he said, I came to fulfill prophecy, and that prophecy has been fulfilled, and to bring salvation to the whole of the world. And when Jesus states in John chapter 3:16, we see that, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, his firstborn. Now we are adopted into sonship through Jesus Christ, who was our Lord and Savior. And a lot of people don't understand, a lot of Christians don't understand that. He came to save the whole world, but it's for those who believe in him. And we read in there's a couple of scriptures that deal with that. Even it says in Mark chapter 16 that he that believes will be baptized in his name, and he that doesn't believe shall be damned. But that's words that a lot of Christians don't like to use either. They don't like to use that other side of it. Look, if you're not saved and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is a place for you, and it is not on the right side of his throne, okay? So when we try to be politically correct, when we talk about hell or being damned or being cursed, then a lot of people really, really get offended by that. And that is, and to me, that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And if we don't have that fear of God, it's not a fear like we're scared, but it's a fear and awe and a reverence. This is what we should believe, that the fear of the Lord is our strength and our the beginning of our wisdom and knowledge. And it's because we're in awe of his glory. We're in awe of his power. I mean, he's not called the Lord of heavenly forces for nothing. He's not called the Most High for nothing. So when we believe that in our Father and we share that with others, then we can come to a greater understanding of why Christ died on the cross. That he loves us so much that he didn't want to see us perish or go into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Is everybody understanding me okay? Great. Okay, let's move on. The word qualified means being able, capable, equal, fit, good, competent, and here's a good one, suitable for the calling that God has put us into. He has chosen us, so we are suitable for that calling or that cause. It also means accomplished or adept and experienced. Okay, so a lot of times when you're talking about experience and being qualified, the Lord doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So in that experience, we build that experience as we walk in the calling. Like even today, I've been in the ministry for 6 years. I started to inherit the kingdom 2 years ago, and since then I've seen areas that Jane and I have set our foot in, planted seeds in, just blossom into flourishing communities where they start working together and they become self-sufficient. And that's part of our mission statement too, and I'll get into that later. And also, if you're qualified, the Lord will make you proficient, and he will give you the skills, and he will prepare you and train you to make you ready to go out and do the things that he has qualified you to do. I mean, look at when he was speaking to Jeremiah. Hello?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I heard somebody.
Yeah, I just muted them, yeah.
Am I moving too fast?
No. You're good.
Okay, great. When Jesus called them together in Mark chapter 10, verse 42 through 45. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over you. But not so with you," which means Jesus is our higher authority. Okay? "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." And this is what he has qualified us to be. He has qualified us to be the greatest of servants as we serve and we sacrifice to make sure that we are reaching out to the whosoever, because he's given us all that charge. And then he says in John chapter 13, verse 15 through 17, "You should do as I have done to you." Now, what did he do? He trained them up in the ministry of salvation. Now we must do as he has done to us. He has trained us and he has loved us and he has taught us to love others as we love ourselves. And he called them into the ministry as sons of the Most High Living God. He didn't call them into the ministry as Christians. I hope people understand that we are qualified as a son of the Most High Living God. There are so many different definitions of the word Christian today. We should redefine ourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High Living God. Well, there are so many people out there that are misguided because they're being misled by so many different options that there are. It's like when you go into, like when you're choosing an insurance company, they give you like 100 different options. And it's the same way with different doctrines as well. You can choose what options that you like in your insurance policy, and then they finalize it, and then you sign your name to it. Where it's not as where Jesus signed his name, he signed your adoption papers with his blood, and he called you as a son or daughter of the Most High Living God. He did not call us to be Christians, and he qualified us to be in that ministry of ministering to others. I hope you guys are understanding what I'm saying, because we need to be redefined today. And when we start sharing that definition of a son of the Most High Living God, it's like a restoration. When we pull people out of different doctrines, we can restore them into the truth of the Word of the Gospel. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28, Paul tells them that the Holy Spirit has made them bishops and that their job is to shepherd the flock of God among them. So the Holy Spirit has qualified us. And if you're baptized, if you're born again and then baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, a certain level of knowledge and wisdom will start to develop in you. And you'll be guided on that straight and narrow path. Now let me get into a little more about who he qualified. In Luke chapter 9, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to curse diseases and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said, take nothing for your journey." I'm going to paraphrase here. And "whosoever will not receive you when you go into the city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them." And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Because this is what he called them to do, is he called them directly into the ministry. Right off the streets, directly into the ministry. And that's the exact same thing that happened to me. And it was, a lot of it, there wasn't any real trial and error, but the more I gained knowledge and wisdom, there were different tactics that I started to use to reach different types of people. Because I'm pretty bold sometimes when it comes to certain things. And it says in verse 10, in Luke chapter 10, in Luke chapter 9, verse 10, when the apostles returned, they told him what they had done. And in Luke chapter 10, one chapter after Luke 9, after these things, the Lord appointed another 70, and he sent them out two by two, and he told them the same thing. And then when the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Everything's done through the name and the power, the name of our Lord Jesus of Nazareth, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, he says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on scorpions and serpents, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Like when he told Peter, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And if more of us walked in this power and authority and understood the words of Christ, imagine what this world would have been. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is allotted to go out and do, like, God allotted me this area. He allotted me this faith. And I tell people all the time, there's a lot of people who can't go out and evangelize and do ministry, but I can be the boots on the ground. Anybody that requests anything of me, I can be the boots on the ground in different areas of Eastern Africa and even Central America. Because I've got connections, and I was in Honduras for a while preaching the gospel, and we just restored an entire area. Now they have a children's center. They're building a children's center right now and developing a school ministry for children. And that building is almost finally finished through various funding and stuff like that. So I'm pretty happy about that. Hallelujah. So, and then let me keep going here in some scriptures. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus spake to them. He says, all power has been given unto me, in verse 18. And then he also says, teaching them, and he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. Again, I'm going to go back to that. Teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you. So everything that he taught them at first, he's like, it's like a repeat after me. So I can't go out and preach the gospel and then have people say, and then go to people and say, okay, repeat after Ron. I have to say, repeat the words that Jesus taught me to repeat. If you understand, because I'm just the middleman. I want to lead you to the scriptures. I want to lead you to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to lead you to any kind of doctrine or misunderstanding of the scriptures. I'm not going to open up the Bible and say, okay, this is what it says, but this is what it actually means. I'm going to say, this is what it says, and you read that verbatim. You read that and you understand it. And be guided by the Holy Spirit, because he is your teacher. Now, there are certain things that I do to teach, but I always go back to the biblical standard. I can't put my own words in that book. That book's already been written, and it's been set in stone. The stone, the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I can't change that. I actually feel sorrow and pain. And sometimes I cry out to God for some of the people that are misunderstanding the scriptures, because they're being led astray by false teachers and false preachers. And it just breaks my heart with that understanding, knowing that Jesus said that there will be false prophets that will even seduce and deceive the elect. He spoke that in Matthew chapter 24. I believe it's Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. So when you understand that scripture, even the elect can be deceived. We have to make sure that we are dead on We are headed for that straight gate and on that narrow path. Hallelujah. Okay, how much time have I been taking? I'm trying to cut this preaching down so Jane and I can talk about the ministry a little bit. Let me go through a couple more verses. Okay, and here's a couple of more things about being qualified. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6, and it came to pass when the Lord were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But God said, look not on his countenance. Don't look at it. Don't look like you're showing him favor because he's good looking or he's tall or he's outstanding in the community. He says, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. And then Samuel said unto Jesse, are all these your children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he's a sheep keeper, he's a shepherd. So the Lord called a shepherd to be the king of Israel. Imagine. And then Samuel poured oil over his head and anointed him as king. A shepherd, how does he know how to be king? Through the guidance of knowledge, through the guidance of the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. You see how it becomes circular. And then in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, living, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, the Lord has touched my lips, and taken away my lips. Imagine how quickly that God, when God sets his sights on you, when his eyes are upon the righteous, when his eyes are upon you, he can change your very your very walk in your life. He can change your being. He can change your focus in a heart. And then even Jeremiah said, look, I'm just a little kid. And the Lord said to him, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever command thee you shall speak. So the Lord he qualifies you to go out and preach the gospel. Be qualified to do what you're called to do. Like I said, every one of us that are on this Zoom right now are qualified to do something and called to do something for the Lord. And neither of us can do what God has called you to do, if you understand what I'm saying. I can't do what God has called me to do. And you can't do what God has called me to do unless he removes me from this space and puts somebody else in my place. And we are all chosen for that because we are different parts of the body of Christ. And once we understand that I can't function without you. Like if I'm a kidney, I can't function without that blood flow. I can't function without those veins. I can't filter out these things that are coming through the body. If you understand what I'm saying, if I don't have a hand, I can't pick up this cup of coffee and drink it. So every part of the body is essential. And I hope you guys are understanding what I'm saying. And even Amos. Amos was a shepherd also. And God called him to share a word to the people. So this is what I talk about when I talk about being qualified. None of us have to be scholarly. Because God has already qualified you to do that particular position that he's given me to do. And we can all learn from each other. And that's one of the biggest things. If we always understand that we can always be learning from each other, then we grow as a body. We get bigger, we get stronger, we get bolder. And we have the strength who is our head, who is Jesus of Nazareth. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so what do you consider yourself called today? Are you an average Christian? Are you just a Christian? Or are you walking in the calling of a son or a daughter. That's my biggest thing that I preach today. If we refocus and reconstruct our mind to believe that we are sons and daughters of the Most High Living God, it sets us at a higher level. It sets us on this pillar of a standard that we carry the banner of Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, who is the Lord of heaven. Hallelujah. Because one day we will all stand before a great throne, and we will stand before the great white throne of judgment. And I know where I'd rather be. I want to be part of that first resurrection so I can return my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that we can rule as priest and king, the Most High Living God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's my message, and I'm sticking to it. So I'd like to introduce Jane, because I'd like to talk a little bit about the ministry. Jane, can you unmute and tell everybody hi?
Hi, everyone.
And I'm gonna share this. This is our logo. And our ministry statement. The Lord set us all this. We designed all this ourselves. So, and our ministry statement is this: that we are the ministry of Inherit the Kingdom, Matthew chapter 24. We reach out to the whosoever, John chapter 3:16. And those that believe shall be baptized in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Mark chapter 16:16. Teaching them the things that Jesus taught us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, that's Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And also what we do is we empower communities through the word of God, not through their own knowledge or not through their own self-sustenance, but we empower communities through the word of God to become a self-sufficient entity among its peers, that they too may reach out to the whosoever's in their community. And if you read chapter 4 in the book of Acts, I believe it was Antioch who was called to help support the Christians in Jerusalem in the time of drought, or in the time of famine. So these are the things that we try to do. We try to build up the communities, become self-sufficient. And when they start working together, they become successful. And these relationships are built upon the foundation of the truth and the word of God, which is John chapter 1. And we raise up a generation. We are raising up a generation of believers through the supporting of communities based upon the needs of the community itself, because every different community has a different or function. And this is also based on the Deuteronomy chapter 11. When it talks about teach your children, speaking of them who sittest in thine house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, always keep the word of God on your lips, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, and the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven. So if we can bring a little bit of heaven to these people when we preach the gospel, support these communities and build up communities. That's why Jane is important too, because she does land restoration and stuff like that, and can teach farmers how to use their land better in permaculture. But anyways, I'd like to turn this over to Jane for a little while. And Jane, can you describe what you've been doing over the past year since I've been gone with different ministries and things of that sort?
Thank you so much, Matt. First of all, I want to thank you all for letting me join this meeting. It's a pleasure to meet you all. And I'm glad to be part of this Zoom service today. And I'm so blessed by the message Ron has shared. And I also want to say I love him so much, and I love my dad, John. I love dad so much, yeah. So I've been blessed by Dad so much in my life with Ron, and it's been a great blessing. So I would love to say that. We've been doing, like he has said, a lot of walks. It's difficult out here sometimes. You go to places to minister in areas where accessibility is a little bit difficult sometimes. Sometimes you get there, sometimes you don't even have a bridge to cross with a car, so you have to walk on your feet 2 kilometers or 3 kilometers, walking on your feet to get into a village and just share the word of God, which has been a great blessing for us. And we appreciate we appreciate those journeys because you endure a lot and you put on stamina to say, yeah, for the Lord, I'll do this, not for anyone else. So before that, I didn't do much of going out and sharing, but when he came into my life, we have really gone out into different communities in Uganda and in Kenya here, in deep villages where people will fear to go, where they have never seen a white man before. He says, I'm being invited there, I'm going to get there. I say, how will we even get there? He said, we'll find a way. So we go, we find a way. You find no hotels to stay in. You stay in a little hut where you, when you come in, you bend too low to get in and come out. But yeah, we're sharing the one.
You stay behind bars or you stay in brothels.
The brothels. It's been quite a big journey. Yeah, we had to stay in a behind a bar every night, and we had 5 days service. So you go out there, you're so tired, and everybody's coming to you and asking questions. What do we do about this? Our family's like this. Should you pray for us? You didn't sleep like last night. The bar was really loud. But you have to do this for the Lord. So, yeah, it's been a wonderful time. We also do gather clothes and from friends, from ourselves. When we have excessive clothes, we take those and clean them out nicely and then send them to those really who don't have. Because sometimes you go into a meeting on a Sunday, you minister a ring, and then you find these kids who come in, this thing, they have a shirt, they don't have a shirt, or they have a shirt, they don't have a shirt, because they really don't have them. It's not that they didn't wear. So we bring along a little bit of clothes with us and gather, and then when we go out to minister, we share these clothes with the families that really don't have anything. We've been to places where sometimes they just stay in houses that are not so covered, and we have to buy things like tarps to help them cover their houses properly because they are leaking in rains and stuff like that. Sometimes we come to a place where people don't have enough food or even plants to cook in, so you support them, you give them a little bit of money to buy food and pans in pans, cooking pans. So my language, sometimes you might miss it, that says, I didn't hear that. Yeah,
we can't cook with a pen.
Yeah, we cook with a pan. What is it called? Okay.
Pan.
We cook.
Cooking pan.
Cooking pan, yeah. So yeah, my language is different. A little bit of accent. I hope you can all hear me and get me a little. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, we can. You're clear.
Okay. So yeah, it's been a wonderful journey, and we've blessed a lot of with little resources here and there. Whatever God gives unto us, we share with families that really have need. We buy Bibles because most of these churches you go into, if they can't feed themselves, they can't afford a Bible. So we buy Bibles and then we bring them.
Swahili generally. And we buy them in the language of that area. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. If we had, because people want to send us Bibles, it's really not very cost effective. If we had the funding to buy Bibles in the areas that we're in, like several different languages in Uganda, 3 or 4 different languages in Kenya. That way, when we go into the area, we purchase the Bibles there. according to their language, and
then
we share those languages with others.
Yeah.
And if not, we buy English, because there's always, and then they start having Bible study, because they'll take the English Bible and the person will read it.
Yeah. So we bring those Bibles, share them, and they really, really feel nice, because at least some on the Bible, and they can study at home, or when they come to church on Sunday, they can still read the Bible at their time, or when the teacher is, the pastor is teaching, which is a great blessing, actually. So that has been our ministry here, and we are continuing, and we love it so much. So we have given ourselves to work for the Lord. Whatever the case, it doesn't matter. We sometimes use border is a bike. They carry you as a passenger bike on a motorbike. We call them border. So some people say, oh, I can't get on that. But you have to get on that, because you have to get where you're going. And therefore you have to reach there and preach the gospel. So you can go on that bike for 10 miles of a journey.
In the middle of a field. We're going down a goat path where the grass is like this far from our heads. And we've got speakers on the back of our motorcycles. And we've got like a trail of like four motorcycles where we have speakers and equipment. And then we have three or four people. And we're going through this goat path. And on both sides of us is sugar cane. And so when you have to go like 3 or 4 miles like that, it's kind of, but you know what? And then you come through this field, and then it opens up into this compound, and you see this little mud hut church, and there's 50 people waiting for you to preach. And then by the end of the day, that church is surrounded by three layers of people listening to you preach the gospel. So this is why I really get touched by it.
Yeah. So when you see these people surrounding the church and listening to the word of God, and they are so crowded, and they are standing on the walls, and others, the kids are sitting between the benches and between the chairs, and then you think, I think that journey wasn't bad after all.
Yeah, you forget all about the trip.
The trip and the bounce of the road. And the motorbike throwing you up and down in the air, you forget about that.
That's the thing too, is our biggest expense is generally the travel.
We don't have a car.
Because you don't have a car and you're always on the back of motorcycles, or you're just moving from point A to point B, and you're traveling on shuttle buses, and sometimes you stay overnight at hotels, and that's the biggest concern we have. It's mostly travel expenses. And then when we get there, we'll make sure, usually we do weekends, we do like 3 or 4 days, and we make sure that there's enough food for around sometimes up to 200 people. But I've seen the Lord take food for 100 people and magnify it and multiply it, where we were feeding 300 people at a time, every single meal, and having food left. So that miracle of food, trust me, it's there. But this is that it makes the journey worthwhile, just to see even to see one smiling child, when you can just come up and just speak with them or dance with them, or just, you know, it's amazing that some of the things that we've been through, even over the past, and we've only been really doing this ministry for what, how long, baby? Has it been 6 years? Oh my God.
Yeah. And we
probably four years full time ministry, because we have to come back here because of visas and stuff like that. So yeah. But when I get to Kenya, it's all study and setting up conferences, and I try to get to conferences and churches, different conferences and different churches every single week. So I can reach as many people as I can. And some days, some weekends, I'll do like training up the pastors. We'll have courses for pastors during the morning. But there's always an evangelism training session. Like, I take Saturday morning, and everybody gets gathered, and we split up into, what, four or five groups of three or four, and everybody goes east, west, north, and south. And they go and out and evangelize in the village. And I'll stay there, and I'll show Bible cartoons. Really, I set up my projector, set it up, and so we have like a cartoon theater screen, so all the kids get to watch movies of like Jonah and Samson and David. So I just set that up while everybody's out evangelizing, and then we give them like 2.5 hours, and a lot of times people don't come back for 3 or 4 hours because they have so much fun. But the stories you come back with, a lot of it is like they mistrust the church because they've been let down by churches or pastors. And this is where the retraining, reconstruction, to rein people back into the gospel of Jesus Christ and to set up leaders that actually function as functioning leaders and pastors. So this is what we like to do. We like to bring people back into the church, but under leadership that is true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So yeah. Evangelism usually works, and we've converted full families of Muslims just by going out and evangelizing the truth, where they'd hear the gospel preached, and the next day they'd all come in and give them their lives to Christ. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell. There's so much more. I mean, I could tell you guys some stories. There was one time that we believe that there were people that were praying against us. They actually set a viper upon us. And so I had to step on it with my boot, because the Bible says you will tread on snakes and scorpions. So yeah, I just and I took that right in the middle of a crowd. I walked right in the middle. Everybody's like, snake, and they all went. So I walked up that snake, and I stepped on its head and crushed it. And then the guy picked up the snake, and everybody was looking at me. And I didn't really have time to preach that day, but I told him, I said, look, if you want to come in and you want to know the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to be saved, then you come to church on Sunday. And so all the people that witnessed that night, they came to church the next day, and that church was packed. It was ridiculous. But this is what, you know, if it says, if the Bible says we can do it, how come people believe that they can't? How come people don't believe it? You know, Jesus said it, I believe it. Jesus said do it, so we go out and do it. Healing the sick, laying hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Signs and wonders following us. Miracles with food, casting out demons. It's all there, and it's all right in our face. And I believe that the reason why people don't see it here is because it's so subtle. It's been suddenly, you should see this country coming to a boiling point right now. And Satan is more prevalent. Even you saw in the prayers of Congress, a man and a woman. Come on now, that's like, so you see Satan, the spirit of the Antichrist is here right now. So I feel a sense of urgency to go out and reach as many people with the gospel. Even if it's family who reject his word, I'm going to stand firm in that. You know, old friends, I'm like, come on, man, you got to understand. Don't you see what's happening? But, you know, like he says, when he said to, I believe he said to Isaiah, I'll send you to a people, and their eyes will be shut, and their ears will not hear. They will hear, and they will see, but they will not understand. So they will remain blind. But there's still the whosoever out there. There are still those. There's still that remnant that is still lost. It needs to hear our voice, because we are the image of Christ.
Yeah, and when you come over here and when you see Well, less than a year calling you Mzungu, they mean calling you. My husband was like, what's that? They go every, they see every white person, and before they say anything else, they say Mzungu. So.
Yep, Mzungu is white.
Mzungu is white.
Yep, means
so
white person.
Mzungu, that means hi white, a white man or white woman, hi. Yep. And kids will shout that on the roads. They're not being rude.
Yep.
They're being.
Two-year-old children. I think that's the first word they learn, is you'll be on the back of a motorbike and a two-year-old child will yell out, Mzungu, and you're like, so yeah, it's pretty weird. But to have a 70-year-old man come up to you and say, I've never seen a white person before, and you're in this small village where they've never seen a white evangelist or a white man of God come into a village like that. It just amazes them that somebody's finally there. And it brings to mind when you preach the gospel, it says, I will not return until every last person has heard my name, you know, until everyone is aware of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, I'm gonna come up to some guy in the middle of Congo, and he's going to say, I've never heard a white boy preaching before. And now all of a sudden, he says, I heard the name Jesus of Nazareth. I didn't know. Jesus returns. So. But you never know. I've been to a couple of villages like that and never seen. And it amazes me, too, because of the amount of missionaries that America alone sends to Africa. I'm wondering where they're all going.
They come to stay
in
a beautiful life, Nairobi, and then beautiful life.
They come
Nairobi.
Where?
Yeah. They come to Nairobi or to Nakuru in the city and do a crusade and then take pictures and go to hotels and come out and have meetings in hotels and go out and come to hotels and go out into lush and big churches, and they have finished their missions and they go back. Have had their life, and then go to Masai Mara where they have to see lions and all these elephants free of charge.
Yeah, they go to Africa.
And then enjoy the nature and the wildebeest, and that's done.
Yeah, I have yet to see a lion or a, you know, I see giraffes and zebras when I travel, but I haven't been on safari yet because I'm too busy doing what God has called me to do.
Yeah.
So you know, and when if you're a missionary and your main focus is to go to an orphanage, and I always tell people, look, I didn't come to Kenya, I didn't come to East Africa just to build an orphanage or build a church or build a school. Yet, I've come to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they can take care of the schools, and they can take care of the orphanages, and they can take care of the because it will give them the incentive to do these things on their own with the power of the Holy Spirit, guided by Christ, God. Because I'm not their, I'm not their father. They have a father in heaven. I'm just here to, Jesus came to preach his gospel and fulfill prophecy, and that's what he did. And then he went home to his father in heaven. When he returns, I want to make sure people are ready for his return. Because that's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, and anyways, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. And I praise God and I thank you all for allowing me to share today and allowing my wife to join us. Jane, is there anything else you'd like to say? What about the libraries that we've been building?
Yeah, we forgot about that. Actually, we also have, we were blessed to buy printers here in our house where we have a study, and now we do print some materials and give them to church together with the Bibles so that they can study the word at their own time. So we buy toners and then print our paper and then we print, because people come and say, would you print for our children's study books? Then you you have them, the material, so you print for them and then bind and then stick to the kids so that they teach, they can teach, use materials to teach the kids. Material printing here is a little bit expensive, like when you go to what we call Cyber Cafe, where you have to print anything, it really costs a lot of money. So we do that for people free, using whatever we got is done to us, we buy paper and then we print for them those materials.
We just purchased like 9 reams of paper, and I think it's all gone already, and we're out of ink.
We're out of ink and out of paper.
But what we do, what we have done, and Dad actually helped us with one church, and they actually built a cab. We built a cabinet that was like the size of a good size hutch, and they put shelves in it. And then they put a bunch of materials in there that we printed out. We got, like I said, children put Sunday school teaching. I got my booklets, which I produced, and got like 2 stacks of Bibles to hand out every Sunday service. And that's for me is a goal that I would really like to reach in the future, just so they have.
And that also, bought chairs for a certain church that didn't have enough chairs for people. So he sent us money, went and bought these plastic chairs that they use here mostly in churches. We purchased those and gave them to that church. They really, really appreciate. They didn't have enough chairs. They used to sit on little benches to fall over. So
Get little tiny skinny benches about this wide.
Yeah, I know.
And when they go, praise God, everybody falls backwards like when the Holy Spirit
one person stands on the other, for one person who is sitting on the other end is heavier, and then when they stand up, and then all of you now fall, these are the
So yeah, we buy chairs and stuff like that.
Thanks, Dad.
And we are completely mobile. I've got a friend of mine purchased a lithium battery pack and a 6-foot solar panel for me, which I took forward to Kenya last time. And it allows me like 12 hours of speaker time. So I have portable speakers which have their own batteries, and we've got microphones and stuff like that, and lights too, but they're all solar. So we can go into a village that's completely dark and then light it up for 3 days. Preaching the gospel, singing and dancing. What's that?
And we bring our air mattress,
And we bring our mattresses, we bring our mattresses and mosquito nets. So wherever, so we can sleep anywhere, grass huts or you know, in somebody's house on the floor in the living room, wherever's convenient.
This guy was on safari, and when we went to his village, I was so tired to get on a bike and go back to the town where we were cooking. So it was like 7 kilometers ride on a bike. I said, no, my legs are not going to take that. My back is broken. My eyes are done. So I'm just going to find a house here and sleep in. So I walked into the congregation and said, is there anybody who can just host me for this time that I'm here? And everybody was like, ooh, we don't have space. I'm like, no, in your little house, I'll stay there. They were so afraid, they started running away, and then another lady said, okay, I'll take you.
Yeah,
they started running away.
Because they think they need like a king-size bed.
Yeah, so I go into her house, and then she pulls out a small mattress, like about 2 inches thick, and then she throws it on the floor and says, that's enough. That's good enough. So that's where I slept for 4 days. And when Ron went back to town, the next day he came back with his luggage, the bags and the clothes. And they said, we're going to just use our clothes as pillowcases. Pillows, you know, you fold them on, make them pillows so that we can raise our head a little bit. And that's why we did for 5 days. We slept down there, and the lady slept on her bed. It's one room, so she doesn't have any other space. So we were good like that. And
we slept on a mattress that was like a crib mattress. And there was 2 of us on there. We're not very small. So.
It was nice.
And at the end of that conference, they gave us a chicken. Provided us with provisions.
They bring bananas, they bring fruits, they bring offering, because they don't have cash, so they bring everything, offering in things that they have. Eggs, chicken, fruit, veg, meat, farm produce, vegetables. That's what they bring on the altar for offering.
And then we distribute it to others. Because we can't we can't have a big thing reaching out. You know, we'll go to like her mom's and we'll break off bunches of bananas for neighbors and stuff like that. Like if we get rice or if you get 30 avocados, then you're gonna have to give some of them away. So then we just share with other people. And the greatest gift I ever received was this old lady. I think she was like around 90. She was skinny as a rail. One of the greatest gifts I ever received, and it reminded me of the woman. The woman that gave the talent, she gave me a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah.
I broke down and cried, like a little baby. I was like,
"You eat it in church? I don't remember. You eat the hard-boiled egg in church?
What was that?
I think I might have.
What was
your egg?
It was a hard-boiled egg. That's what she gave us for an offering. So,
yeah,
and we rejoice, and we got a lot of things coming against. There's a lot of witchcraft over there, and also some of the pastors too really pray against us when we come into a village because we're going to be stealing their people.
And people are bound. People are bound by sicknesses, and actually coming from mostly witchcraft. So. When we went to this village, we stayed in where we stayed on a mattress. And Uganda, actually, people really cook good food. So I was like, I haven't been here for a long time. So this time around, I'm going to eat good food, banana and some chicken. So as soon as I arrived there and the Lord says, you're starting your fast today. I'm like, no. There's good food here. And he says, you're starting your fast today, now. And I'm like, yes, Lord. So I started my fast, and then when we get there and at night I see a vision of a big tree with birds, lots of birds, just actually overpowering this tree, and it's like they're breaking it down because they're all standing on that tree and there are many and it just can't take the weight. And then I say, oh my God. This tree is going to break because these bats are so many. So I try to move around to see if they can fly away, if they see somebody. And then they look an opposite direction, and then they start all flying away. And they didn't look like bats when they go away. The faces look like monkeys. And then I look at the side where they're flying, I mean, why they are scared from the other direction, what's there, and then I see the Lord. This light of the Lord. And I knew they were demons.
Yeah. And when we came into the
village, it was bound up by demons. We could hear the screams of demons at night trying to run away while screaming.
Yeah.
When we prayed.
The witch doctors, we prayed so hard that day, we were interceding for that whole village. That we found out the next day that the witch doctor in the village had died of a heart attack.
Oh wow!
You might think it's unbelievable, but this is what happens when we go in because we want to bring the truth. When you bring the gospel of truth, then things have to run away. They can't stay in the presence of God. They can't stand in the presence of the Word of God. Yeah. When you get
and really the lady was there that was found. Pregnancy that she wasn't actually having a child, and she had this pregnancy for over a year. You remember that lady?
Yeah, I think I remember her. She was pregnant for over a year, but she wasn't actually having a child. He was just possessed. So, but these are the things we deal with over there. We take them with a grain of salt. because we expect it to happen. And these, like I said, these pastors pray against us because they think that we're going to steal their people. We bring them through. Because one church will not let their people visit another church because they're afraid that they'll start going to that other church. And these are the things that we try to break off. And when you break things off like that in a village, when you expose the liars and the thieves, and then God comes in and just explodes. He opens up his word and he opens up people's hearts and minds to receive the true gospel. And it's difficult sometimes, but like I said, I take it with a grain of salt. Sometimes you can feel the territorial spirit shift and the atmosphere shift and break off the false prophets and liars and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother different story. So, you know, we go into a village. There one village I went into, they took us to a hotel, and I was kind of offended because I wanted to stay in the compound. And they were embarrassed because they were like, we don't want you to come and see where we live. I'm like, well, I want to be part of you. I want to be part of your community. I can't do this being in a hotel. He kind of had to break off that little bit of, I think there was pride, pretty much. But I was a little bit offended. But then when that humility came in, it broke off that spirit of stubbornness or whatever. And Jane and I had one of the best weekends we've ever had in Uganda. That was at Dennis's place. This guy named Dennis Alobo. And right now, because we were there that weekend, they've had to build a school for 220 children that have left the Catholic diocese. And they've also had to build, because the Catholics had a school there. And once they found out that they were teaching all these things about Virgin Mary and all these stuff, things were false, and that the Catholics serve the same God as the nation of Islam, these people got so mad when they found that out. They all started just exodusing the Catholic church and that diocese. And so he's had to, and the church that he was in last year, it got flooded out, and it was destroyed by a flood. So they're in the process of building a church, a bigger church, because the people have just been flooded. We've been working pretty closely together. I've been doing what I can to help fund that church. I think the only thing that they have left is the roof. So he's moving that slowly but surely. But the school for the children has been built. It's 220 children, and they're there during the day, and then so they feed them at lunch, and then they go home. So that's pretty amazing that stuff like that.
So Ron, I'm hearing you say that the best thing to do is to back you with money instead of like goods or clothes or school supplies or books, or it would be better.
Yeah, because we can get
money.
We can get all that stuff over there.
Yeah.
But what I like to do is, if people fund us, I make sure that they see the fruit. I make sure that there's pictures posted. And I make sure that I send emails, and I make sure that people are aware that with the funding that gets to you, we are also 501c3 tax exempt ministry. So if there's funding available, then I write a nice letter and I send you guys the tax exempt.
Well,
so
are there certain churches that back you then? A certain ones or?
No, there's one church. I actually put in a request for funding, and it would have funded us pretty good. It probably would have taken care of us for a year. But it took them a long time. They got their missionary committee together, and then they couldn't decide whether to fund me or not because of doctrinal differences, legalism pretty much. So I kind of was like that. It's okay, whatever, whatever you guys decide. The Lord will provide.
Well, the
and then I've got a guy who, like every 6 months, he'll give us money for Bible, and like he'll give us a check for $300, and then I send some money to Honduras for my friend. They buy Bibles. Whenever we hand out a Bible, we take pictures, so there's evidence of that. And then the rest I send to Jane, and she's pretty good.
So you're self-funded, pretty much. You're just self-funded for your mission work.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yep. Wow. I
money
can listen
that
to
I, money
all
that I
have
left
you guys.
So I can listen to both of your stories. I mean, I just love the way the Lord's working in your lives. I mean, it's just awesome.
Amen.
And the Lord's been speaking to me about our children and families in our community as well. And I feel so connected to you through the Holy Spirit, because that's where I'm at right now. Is He's leading me into that direction. And I would love to get some correspondence information with you, maybe,
okay.
And get some ideas. Just beautiful. Praise God. The work that He's doing in your lives.
Y'all need to get a passport.
I'm super excited.
You will love it, Terry. You will love it. Come over.
Yes. Yep. I've got to do my community first now. Hang on. The Lord's way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. I want to know more about the motorcycle. Is that your motorcycle?
Yes.
Do you have to rent one?
We have guys that we get motorcycles. There are basically the taxis. But you can get a taxi. The thing is if you're on the back of a motorcycle, we make sure that they're qualified drivers and they really take
okay,
care of
I have to know, do you bring the chicken back on that motorcycle?
Yes, we do. I carry the chicken back on the motorcycle.
I always have a question like this when I pass.
This is Tom Best. I've just, I think you got a great partner there in Jane.
Yeah.
And said, I like her.
We like Jane.
But my question is, I got a couple questions. First,
okay.
how did God put you and Jane together? How did He position you and together?
Let Jane answer that question.
If you want to answer, you don't have to if you don't want to.
Let Jane answer that question.
I'll answer that. First of all, I didn't know. Heron was my friend on Facebook, and we were talking about praying for each other and just ministry things, and asking him a little bit of stuff when I need prayer, and let's say a prayer partner sometimes. And he was preaching on Facebook, and I followed him in the same group. And then he said he has been invited by people to come and preach in Kenya. And I said, wow, that would be nice. Where in Bungoma? I'm born in Bungoma, so which place is it? Probably I could join the meeting. And he told me the names, and I said, okay, fine. When you come over, I think I can join the meeting because I like your teachings. And then I go for this one-time church service somewhere, and the pastor tells me, oh, there's a white man coming to marry you. And then I say, oh, no, I'm old. And the pastor, then I say, no, I'm old. I don't want that. And then he says, and it's not so far away, it's so soon. And I say, oh, my God, I don't want to listen to that. So I went, and when Ron came and told me about he's been shown in the vision that I could be his wife, and I said, oh no, I have to pray about that. He has to confirm to me. So I went into 3-day fast prayer and fast and pray about that. And the Lord asked me, have I ever told you anything that I've never fulfilled? And I said, no. So do you doubt this one? And I say, no, I just want confirmation. And he said, now you have it. So I told him, yes, I will be okay in that relationship. So we started talking online. But most of the time, I didn't believe online people because they normally don't come over. They will never reach here. They always come and they are in the plane and they have arrived in Nairobi, and then you don't hear about it anymore. So I knew it was the same thing, and probably at the back of my mind, I knew that was gonna happen like that. So he sent me his book, and then he sent me a ring. I put it on my finger. He proposed online, Zoom, on Skype, and then I sent the ring in through the post office, and I received the ring and put it on my finger. But still, I say, probably it's just a game. And then,
he booked the hotel. He sent her chocolate diamonds, and she thinks it's a game?
And then he sent me his ticket, and I said, that is downloaded from Google. And then he sent me, just downloaded on Google. And then he sent me his itinerary, so he booked the hotel, and the hotel called me and said, you've been booked into this hotel. And then I said, well, I'll go stay there for 2 days and then I'll come back home. That's fine. So so the day then he was arriving, so he comes to the airport, and then I'm like, I tell my children, we have to go, all of us as a family, to receive him so that he knows we are here. So I have two daughters. In that time, we had two grandchildren. So I took my keys and then we went to the airport. But I knew he would not come. At the back of my mind, I said, okay, we can just go to the airport for a ride. And then he showed up at the airport. And I was amazed to see him at last. And he was also happy to see me, because normally sometimes you don't find somebody there waiting.
Oh, I knew her face.
Oh,
and then I went straight, right in the middle of the crowd. I went, she came up to me, and I went right on my Everybody's looking and watching, like, I didn't care.
So how many years is she married? How many years?
6 now.
6 years now.
I think nobody goes because he doesn't have status to stay here. So he normally goes for about 6 months or 8, and then he comes back and like that.
Hopefully the next time I go back, I'll be able to get my dependent ID. So.
Yeah, but now we have actually a missionary permit for him to be here for 3 years without going back to the U.S. So when he comes, he can do missionary without really going back for 3 years. But he has already spent 1 year in the U.S., so he has only 2 years left. If he comes.
So my time is ticking.
Yeah. Well, do you have any idea when you're going to be able to go back with all this?
And I was hoping in February. See, right now, I'm going to let you know a little secret. I haven't told many people because when you tell people things, then the word gets out, and there's a lot of people who don't like you to move forward. Right? Because of jealousy or envy, or they just don't like you, they don't like your words, they start praying against you. And I keep things pretty close to the chest, but I'm gonna let y'all know right now that hopefully within the next month, my book will be out published. I've been working on it since September. It's in the publisher's hand. I'm going through Christian Faith Publishers, and I'm hoping that brings enough money to
What a wonderful thing you're doing.
What's the title of your book, Enda?
It's called The Search is Over. Let glory begin. Because the reason why I did that was because the Lord said that there's so many people that are still searching, even though they're born again. What are they searching for? And why? Just if you let God's glory begin in you, as soon as you become born again, then He's going to guide you in every single one of your footsteps. He's even going to tell you how to dress during the day. Like, say it's a beautiful sunny day, and then you get up in the morning and He's like, bring your raincoat, and you're like, why, Lord? It's sunny out. So you're like, okay, and you submit to His word. And then at 11:30 in the morning, it starts a downpour, and you're the only one wearing the rain jacket. So, stuff like that.
Doran, have you been to Africa?
No, but I plan on going there this summer.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So things are moving.
Ramon, do you
I made a comment while you were speaking to Pat. I think it's probably easier to evangelize in Kenya or Uganda than it is in the United States. Do you think Amen. That's true?
Well, when I was in Waco, Texas, when I lived in Waco, Texas, I actually had a bus ministry. I call it the bus ministry, because I would just see people down or whatever, and I say, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And I would just be just cold like that. They'd be like, "Yeah." I'd start to preach on the bus, and I was almost kicked off the bus by a bus driver who was a Mason, because he knew everything about the gospel. And then in Jacksonville, there's a few times in Jacksonville where I preached on the bus, or I'd be standing at a bus stop and somebody would be just feeling down, or I'd be outside of a hospital, so I'd pray for healing for people and stuff. But it is easier. It's easier to put together conferences and stuff like that over in Kenya.
Yeah.
Because
people still need to really be taught the word of God, because thing is, they go to church, but sometimes ministries are so religious that they forget actually to just teach what Jesus wants us to understand and believe in that
person.
So they bring a lot of religion, and they don't find anything in the religion, so they keep hungering for this true word of God. And when you come to these places, you realize that they say, "Oh, we weren't told like that before." Like, they have to bow to their pastors, and they have to really be broken back. You know, like, you come to church and there is all these things that you, they say, bring all your burdens to church and leave them at the cross. But when you arrive there, you leave all the burdens that you came with on your heart to church at the cross, and then the church takes its luggage heavier and puts it on your back. Now you can go home and come back, and go home and come back with that luggage.
Like the other day, this guy in Kenya, he was saying that if you don't give your offering, then you're cursed.
Yeah, and my pastor, my previous pastor.
So I told him, I said, did you know that in the Bible it says that liars are cursed?
We gotta have them back again, Pastor, because I could ask more questions that would take a long time. I want to snowblow. I gotta go snowblow, Jane. What is snow? Heavy snow. We should have them back, Pastor. Help to know about her coming to the Lord.
I do appreciate Ron, and especially Jane, for coming on board here today. I sense it too. You know, there's a sense of spirit that's with the two of you, that's combined with God, that just allows you guys to reach people, because of, like, what Ron was saying, that there's a calling that you guys have, and you're answering that call, and so he can work. I do appreciate that a lot. What I'd like to do is, we'll have a song too, but I'd like to just pray over the two of you guys, if that's okay, and I'll start, and anybody can kind of join in afterwards, and then we'll just close with a song and a closing prayer. Father, I thank you for bringing Ron and Jane here today with us, and not sure, you know, how all that connection stuff kind of works. I know it's a lot of it's because of Doran coming in, but somehow your plan is more powerful than what we can ever try to imagine or put together. And I think the important thing is for us to be able to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit and to act on that. From what Ron and Jane were saying here today, I think it's very evident that that's what we need to do. So Father, I pray for their ministry. I pray for the gospel to be preached and be preached correctly. I pray for the individuals that hear the gospel, that their hearts are softened enough to be able to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray that that there are many miracles, just for the evidence of the movement of the Holy Spirit, and that the everyone is convinced that, you know, that God is true, and that that Jesus did die on the cross for our sins, and that the Holy Spirit resides in our hearts here and now. And Father, I just pray for their protection from the evil that's out there. I pray for their protection from sickness. I pray for their protection just from sometimes from accidents that might even happen. But I thank you, Lord, that they're humble enough to sleep on mats and not proud enough that they, not too proud, but they can't be with the people and meet with the people. I do thank you, Lord, that Ron and Jane are answering your call. Obviously, it's not something that we could do, but it's maybe something that we can support, Lord. So I do wish, you know, God to be able to be even more bold in their ministry, and that those individuals in areas where they're not, Christianity really isn't being reached, but witchcraft is there, is that Christianity just stomps out the witchcraft and the falseness, the doctrines, as Jane was saying, the heavy weights that are put on individuals, and that people truly are set free because of the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is. Protect them, Lord, keep them safe, and allow them to further your kingdom wherever they go. We pray all of this through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor, can I say something, Pastor?
Sure, yeah, this ball part of it, yeah.
I want to thank you, too, for what you've done. We love you. My phone is going to lose its charge, but I'm going to hang on as long as I can. If it goes blank, then you'll know what happened. I didn't hang up. But it makes us see how lucky we are, you know, what we got here and what other people don't have. They probably are accustomed to it, but it just, my heart goes out to you. Yeah, my phone is beeping quite a bit. I love you too, and you too stay safe, and God bless you for what you're doing. Love you guys.
Deb, we love your sweet spirit.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. They know that I'm blind, you know, I'm pretty sure they know that I'm blind, and I go through trials, but I don't think it's nothing like what those people in Kenya are going through. Yeah, I love you too. So you guys be safe.
Amen. Thanks, Bev. Yeah, that's good.
Thank you, Bev.
Yeah.
Father, I'm just sensing in my spirit that Ron and Jane are really, really stepping up to the calling that the
uh-huh.
Lord's not their own calling, but the Lord's calling. And I just pray, Lord, that you make them successful in whatever they put their hand to, Lord, whether they're in Kenya or Uganda or wherever the Lord sends them, Father.
Their book.
And I just pray in Jesus' name that as we listen, we remember oath calling, and Father, we're true to that. Not something we just think we ought to do, but it's something that the Lord has called us to, and help us to be faithful in that, Father. So I thank you for Jane, I thank you for Ron, and I just pray, Father, your great blessing on them and the people they serve there in Africa. Thank you.
May they have more than enough.
Amen. All right, yeah.
Does anybody else want to pray for them too?
Father, I pray that you continue to watch over them, and as they're apart, Lord, take care of them and give them peace about it, and unite them as soon as you can, Lord, for their work for you, Lord, and bless the time for each of them, Lord. And keep them, we know you are, Lord, and keep them in your hands and guide them until they're together again, Lord. And
Yeah.
Thank you, Father, for their faithfulness. We serve you, Lord. and the joy that they're doing in there. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
I want to thank you all for letting me preach the gospel today and being able to share the word. This is what I do, and I really get excited when I get a chance to reach out to people and just be the man of God has called me to be. There's a lot of times that I don't get a chance to get out and do what I've done, and I just feel this pressure. And I'm like, there's got to be a way to break out. So I tried to, I've done a few live videos. Those videos are now on YouTube, U-G-E-T-U-B-E. Some of them are on YouTube, but they're on YouTube, U-G-E-T-U-B-E. And I'm probably going to get more over the next couple of months as well. So,
Brian, did you say huge?
U-G-E. It's Utah Gun Exchange. Yeah.
Okay.
Utah Gun Exchange has actually put together a channel that's like YouTube, but they don't censor videos.
Good. Can I ask Jane a question? Has she ever been to the United States?
Yeah, once when I went to my mother's funeral.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll meet you sometime.
Oh, yes.
Pat and I may go to Kenya. Who knows?
Bring it on. We've got an extra bedroom with a queen-size bed, and it has its own bathroom with a running
water. No, I don't want that. I want to sleep on a thin mattress.
Right. I don't have cold resorts. No.
Okay, Tom, I'll take you out, and Jane and Pat can sit in the... at the house and drink tea.
Ben, right.
Okay, that sounds good.
It stuck out in my mind when they shared about when they get somewhere and then there's crowds of people. Wouldn't that, we don't see that here, you know, very rarely to hear the word of the Lord, you know, wow.
And out there, you have to prepare yourself. You have to know how to squat. There's no
So I know a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Right.
TMI. Do you know what that is?
We have sitting toilets in our house. So
Good.
Yeah. When we go for missionary, there's no sitting toilet. I assure you that.
Yeah.
The hole in the ground.
Jane, do you know what TMI is?
Yeah.
Do you know what TMI is?
TMI, yeah.
Yeah. Too much information.
You don't want to be shocked.
Yeah.
Yep,
you don't
want to
be shocked.
Yeah. Truth, so I'm sure. Be prepared.
I think we can end it here, folks. I really appreciate the Frasers for coming, and God bless you all. Just be safe if you're shoveling and stuff. Don't overexert yourself. The snow's pretty heavy, so just take your time as you're doing it. Yeah.
Thank you all.
All right. God bless until we meet again. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Ron, if you want to get me some contact information, I can text it out to people.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
All right.
I can start right away if you'd like. I can send you a couple of materials and stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome. As soon as we're done here.
Do you have...
Thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. I think if you go to our church website, my email's in there. And I'm probably going to link on it there. It's a HarrisvilleChristianChurch.com.
Okay, we're going to leave now, guys. I just want to ask Jane what time it is over there.
Eight, 5 minutes past 8 at night.
It's my bedtime.
At night? What's the temperature?
Yeah, yeah, I'll send my number in the chat if you want to chat on WhatsApp or something like that.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Okay,
my
daughter's
in the call at exactly 12:05, so I'm going to leave. Bye.
Okay. I think I'm done here, too.
Okay. Yep, I thank you very much, everybody, for taking the time.
Stuff. Okay.
And Doran, I'll be in touch with you tomorrow or tonight sometime, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I'll give you a jingle.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Has the tree service to it. Arbor tree service. We call them about flowers for time too. He has quite a few people that he buys. So it worked kind of better to have that Mike there. Really well for Arbor tree service because there's no rush to get her done, so I can just kind of do her even last.